بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. An incident is narrated here. A person who had plenty of wealth hoarded everything that he could. He constructed a magnificent mansion which had two doors. He appointed servants to guard the doors. On the completion of the mansion, he extended a big invitation which included all his friends and close associates. He sat on a throne with one foot up and the other resting on the throne. His guests were busy eating while he was saying in his heart that everything has been hoarded and preserved, hence for several years there will be no need to purchase anything. While saying this, a beggar in tattered clothing entered the doorway with a beggar's bag hanging around his neck. He began banging the door so loudly that the sound reached the throne. The attendants ran outside to see who this insane person was. They asked him what he wanted. The beggar replied, "Send your master to me." The attendant said, "Will our leader come to a beggar like you?" The beggar replied, "He will definitely come. Go and inform him." They went to their master and related to him what had transpired. The master said, "Did you not punish him for what he had said?" In the meanwhile, the beggar banged the door even louder for a second time. The attendants rushed to the door again. The beggar said, "Tell your master that I am Malakul Maut." Hearing this, they lost their senses. When they told their master, he also became stunned and he said with humility, "Tell him to take somebody else in my place." In the meantime, the beggar came inside and said, "Do whatever you wish. I am not returning from here without extracting your soul." The rich man had all his wealth collected. He said to his wealth, "May Allah curse you. You prevented me from the worship of my Lord. You never allowed me time to remember Allah Ta'ala in solitude." Allah Ta'ala through his power gave his wealth the power to speak. The wealth replied, "Why do you curse me? Through me you reached great kings at times when pious people were driven away from their doors. Through me you attained the pleasure of elegant women, and through me you lived like kings do. I could not resist when you squandered me in evil places. If you had spent me in good places, I would have been of use to you today." Thereafter, Malakul Maut suddenly extracted his soul. In the early days, Malakul Maut, the Farishta, used to come in human form. Like in this case, he came in the form of a beggar. But the lesson to hear from here, to learn from here, is that once the death knell rings, then there is no further delay, no respite. Inna ajalallahi idha ja'a la yuakhar. When the appointed hour comes, there is no respite. So this foolish man still went to say, they tell him to take someone else in my place. There is no question of taking someone else. Or to ask him to hold on for a few minutes. No few minutes to hold on. As I mentioned yesterday, clockwork precision. When the time to leave the world comes, Malakul Maut extracts the ruh, the soul, and the person has to leave. Whether he is rich or poor, whether he is king or pauper, whether he is young or old, male or female, when the appointed hour comes, we all have to leave this world to meet our Creator. When we leave the world, questions will be posed to us. That this life was an amanat, a trust given to us. What did we do in this life? How did we spend this life? Questions will be posed in the qabr too. مَا رَبُّكَ مَا دِينُكَ مَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلِ الَّذِي بُعِثَ فِيكُمْ. That who is your sustainer? And what is your religion? And also the question, barriers will be removed. The man in the qabr will be able to see all the way to Madinah Munawwara. He will see Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be asked, that what do you say about this person that was sent amongst you? Who was he? So these questions will be answered, will have to be answered. If they are answered incorrectly, a person will face torment from the time of the qabr. If he fails, or rather if he passes that test, then that qabr will become a bed of roses for him. But then there is another test on the day of Qiyamah. Questions will be posed. Bounties that we were given, blessings that Allah Ta'ala entrusted to us, we will be asked about those blessings. It comes in a hadith, لا يزول قدم ابن آدم حتى يسأل عن خمس, that the person will not be able to move from the plains of Qiyamah until he answers five questions. What are the five questions? عن عمره فيما أفنى, that the lifespan that you were given, how did you utilize your life? وعن شبابه فيما أبلى, the youthful age that you were given, how did you waste that youth? How did you spend that youth? وَعَنْ مَالِهِ مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ, the third question, the wealth that you had, from where did you earn it, from halal or haram sources? The fourth question, وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ, after earning that wealth, where did you spend that wealth? In dens of vice and evil, or in avenues that would earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the final question, وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ مَاذَا عَمِلَ فِيمَا عَلِمَ, that whatever little knowledge you possess, not necessarily that you be an alim, you knew what little you knew about deen, to what extent did you translate that into practice? So all these things will be asked about. Whatever bounties Allah Ta'ala give us in the world will be questioned. How did we utilize them? Did we do justice to them? Did we show gratitude? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, the Quran says that you will be questioned about all these bounties. In one hadith it comes, it was a hot summer's day, midday, when normally the Arab people rest in the shades of the homes. The desert sun is too hot to bear at that time of the day. But yet Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam emerged outdoors at that unusual hour, looking restless. And then when he looked around, he saw Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala also outside, Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu also outside. They asked Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you doing outdoors at this hour when it is so hot beneath the scorching sun? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, al-ju', hunger has compelled me to come out. There is no food at home. Restless, I could not sleep. So I came outside. Nabi Sallam asked the two companions, what brought you outside? They also said, al-ju', because of the pangs of hunger. So then Rasulullah Kareem Sallam said to the two companions, let us go to the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala. When Nabi Sallam first migrated to Medina Munawwara, he was the first host of Nabi Kareem Sallam. Until Nabi Sallam did not have his own dwelling, he stayed at the home of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiallahu ta'ala as his guest. So this was like a second home for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was a well-to-do person. They went up to his home. When he saw the arrival of his guests, his joy knew no bounds. That how fortunate I am, what a privilege, what an honor, such noble guests coming to my home. He spoke to his wife and quickly they had some meal prepared and the meal was served. When Nabi Sallam sat down with his companions to partake of the meal, before they had partaken of the meal, Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then recited this verse of the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that you will be questioned about bounties on the day of Qiyamah. This itself is a bounty, that we came outdoors in a state of hunger, experiencing pangs of hunger, not knowing where the livelihood, where the food will come from, and Allah Ta'ala provided all this food for us. So we will definitely be questioned about this on the day of Qiyamah. Nabi Kareem Sawasam picked up a morsel of food. He was about to put it into his mouth. Then suddenly he thought of his beloved daughter Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha. And he called someone and said, take this morsel of food for my daughter. She too has not eaten for days. So this was the way they spend their lives. The little that Allah Ta'ala provided for them, they appreciated this. And they showed gratitude to the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will be questioned about this. One of the greatest bounties that we possess today, many of us, but we don't appreciate it, and that is the bounty of our parents. Those of us who are fortunate that our parents are still living, to serve them, use them as a means to earn our ticket to Jannat. Because these parents, you can never ever repay them, no matter how hard you try. The amount of difficulty they go through, to bring up the children, to bring us up, we can never ever repay them. That is why in the hadith Rasulullah Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains the virtue of parents. In one hadith he says, إِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. The Jannah lies beneath the feet of your mothers. Serve your mother and utilize that service to earn your ticket to Jannah. One Sahabi came to Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he asks Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, مَنْ أَحَقُّ بِحُسْنِ صَحَابَتِي. Who is the most deserving of my good conduct? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ummuk, your mother. He then asked, Thumma man? Next in line, next in sequence, who is most deserving of my good conduct? Again Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said for a second time, Ummuk. He asked, Thumma man? Thereafter who? Again for a third time Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ummuk. When he asked for a fourth time, Thumma man? Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Abuk. In other words, Nabi Sallam gave three privileges to the mother. That the mother enjoys three times more rights than what the father enjoys with regard to his children. Ulama have given the reasons for this. That the mother goes through three difficulties that the father does not have to go through. The father's job description, so to say, is just to earn, bring food and put it on the table. The mother goes through three difficulties which males do not have to endure. One is carrying the fetus in her womb, the burden of the fetus for 9 months, that difficulty. Thereafter when she gives birth, going through the pangs of labor, she goes through that difficulty. And number three, after giving birth, she suckles the baby, breastfeeds the baby. This males don't have to do. So because of the three duties, mothers are accorded three privileges over fathers. We ought to appreciate both our parents, more so our mothers. But our fathers too. In one hadith it comes to this effect, that your father is either your door to Jannat or your door to Jahannam. In other words, serve him and earn your passageway to Jannat, or otherwise be rude to him, do not respect him, ma'azallah, and then you will be headed in the other direction towards Jahannam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given amazing prophecies that are turning out true, unfolding before our very eyes. In one hadith, Rasulullah Kareem saw mentioned to the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in that one of the worst sins that a person could commit, أَيَّسُبَّ الرَّجُلُ وَالِدَيْهِ, that a person swears his parents. He hurls vulgarities at his parents, verbal abuse. The Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum ajma'in was shocked to hear this. And they asked Nabi Sa'azam, who can be so uncouth to swear at his parents? Is that even possible? So then Nabi Sallam gave the situation whereby it becomes possible that one man swears the father of another person. In retaliation, he in turn swears at the father of the first person. This man swears at his mother. In return, he swears this man's mother. In others, because a person initiated hurling abuse at the opposite party's parents, he in turn retaliates by swearing our parents. In others, we become the indirect means of our parents being sworn at. The Sahaba would turn in their graves if they knew the situation today. That youngsters, even adults, are not only indirectly abusing their parents, but directly. They are swearing their parents, hurling verbal abuse at their parents. This is the age we are living in. And these prophecies are unfolding before our very eyes. In some narrations, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam indicates a prophecy that a time will come that a person will be walking on the road with his father. He will feel too embarrassed to even say that this is my father. He will be walking along with the old man and his friends will be standing alongside the road. They will ask him, who is this old topi with you? And he will reply, is this an old man tagging along with me? He will feel too embarrassed to say this is my father. That is the situation, that is the environment we are living in today, unfortunately. So very important, this is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to appreciate our parents. Once when Hazrat Mufti Ahmed Sahib Khan Puri Daud Barakatuhum was here in the country, our ustad, Allah Ta'ala give him long life, inshallah, keep his shadow over us. So a certain town we went to, one of my friends had just purchased a new home. He moved into the home, brought his parents also in to stay with him. So when Hazrat visited the town, this person, an alim also, he mentioned to Hazrat Mufti Sahib, down barakatum, that Hazrat, I purchased this new home, make dua for barakat, and my parents have come in to stay with me. My parents are living with me. So look at the wisdom of these pious people. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, down barakatum, said to him, that rephrase the statement. Instead of saying that your parents are living with you, rather say you are living with your parents. It makes a big difference that you show the favors of your parents. That no matter that you purchase a house with your own earnings, but how did you earn this money? Who educated you? Your parents. Your mother toiled for you, sending you to school with lunch. Your father paid the fees. If you went through university, your father toiled day in, day out, turning day into night, night into day, to pay those university fees. And now you have become a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, engineer, and your head is in the clouds. That you have forgotten your parents. They were the means for you becoming that doctor, lawyer, accountant, engineer. Have you forgotten the favor of your parents? So look at this, what a difference it makes. Just rephrasing it slightly. Instead of saying my parents are staying with me, rather say I am staying with my parents. The parents are the means for me acquiring this house, even though I may be the owner of this house. Don't forget the favors of your parents. So this is something very, very important. We ought to acknowledge this bounty. Unfortunately, we overlook many bounties. Those of us who are married, to be married, having a spouse, a wife, this also is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we take it for granted. Instead of saying that that wife is a queen of our home, we treat her as a servant, as a slave, to slog day in and day out, without showing any appreciation whatsoever. Look at how considerate Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about his wives. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to enter the home sometime late after Isha, after attending to the needs of the ummah, engage in delivering discourses in Dawat and Tabligh, sometimes he would return home late after Isha, when the wife of that particular household is already in bed. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would enter the home, he would make salam, which is a sunnat, which we have forgotten when we enter the home to make salam. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make salam in a moderate tone, in such a tone that if the wife is lying awake, she would hear the salam and reply to the salam. But if she was fast asleep, that tone would not disturb her sleep. So considerate was Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam also take part in household chores, sometimes cleaning up, tidying up, mending clothing. Today let us take a stock of ourselves. Who of us ever assists our wives to even wash a single teaspoon in the kitchen sink? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to assist in household matters. And he taught us, when you enter the home, make salam. We have forgotten the sunnah. Hazrat Maulana Qari Amir Hassan Sahib rahmatullahi, once when he was here, he explained the benefits of making salam and entering the home. The greatest benefit is that it is a sunnah of Rasulullah Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, implemented with the intention of sunnah. Second benefit of making salam when you enter the home, Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in our rozi, in our livelihood. Today we complain about financial straits, financial difficulties. Make salam when you enter the home and see what barakat comes into your rozi. And the third benefit, Qari Sahib rahmatullah explained, that when you make salam upon entering the home, it brings about unity among the family members. Today we complain about the generation gap, that parents cannot communicate with the kids, kids cannot communicate with the parents, because we have discarded the sunnah of making salam when entering the home. So the wife also is a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She toils for us. She cooks and presents the food to us. How many of us are appreciative of that? When do we thank the wife for that? A friend of mine once, when he was in Darbel, he was invited at the home of Hazrat Mufti Ahmad Sahab Khan Puri Dawan Barakatuh. When Hazrat Mufti Sahab also sat down with the guests and they had partaken of the meal, they overheard Hazrat Mufti Sahab reciting this dua, Allahumma at'im man at'amana wasqi man saqana. That Allah feed those who have fed us, give drink to those who have given us to drink. So my friend was a bit curious and he asked Hazrat, that Hazrat, normally this dua is recited, read by a guest when he is invited somewhere. This is your own household. Why have you read this dua? So Hazrat replied that it is not a sunnah per se, but impromptu. Allah Ta'ala created this urge in me. I thought to myself, the ladies are toiling in the kitchen, they are preparing the food and feeding us, why don't we give dua to them? That they have done all the hard work. So we learn from these pious people how to conduct ourselves. Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi Rahmatullahi, one of the Khulafa of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, he was once invited by one of his murids for a meal. He went to the home after they had partaken of the meal. Dr. Abdul Haysab Rahmatullahi said to the host, who was his murid, and his wife also happened to be his murida, he said to the host, that call your wife behind the curtain. So he was perplexed. Nevertheless, he went into the kitchen and beckoned for his wife to come behind the curtain, behind the parda, that Hazrat wants to say something. When she came behind the parda, Hazrat thanked her for the sumptuous meal. That I compliment you on a meal very well prepared. May Allah reward you. Before that, he had already read the du'as for the host on the dasturkhan. But now specifically, he called the lady of the house and thanked her for a sumptuous meal that she had prepared and served. No sooner did he say this, that lady began to weep. He heard the sound of sobbing from behind the curtain. So Dr. Abdul Haysab Rahmatullah became worried. Then, oh sister, did I say something to offend you? I did not mean to upset you. So she said, no, Hazrat, you did not offend me. You have been kind to me. The reason that I am crying is that I have been cooking food for my husband for the last 30 years. Not once did he ever thank me and compliment me for a meal well prepared. And today you have come as a guest and you are thanking me, appreciating my efforts. So Hazrat Dr. Abdul Haysab then rebuked his murid. And this is totally unacceptable. Ladies are doing all the work and we do not show thanks and gratitude. Once when we were in Maputo, one person explained to me that some alim related the same incident of Dr. Abdul Haysab Arifi Rahmatullahi. So someone in the audience, very excitedly, he thought, from today, I'm going to put the sunnah into practice. It's also a sunnah. مَنْ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَشْكُرِ اللَّهِ. If you don't thank the people, you haven't thanked Allah. So he went excitedly, let me go and thank my wife when she serves a meal this evening. So he went home, the wife served the meal, he ate, and he thanked his wife out of the blue first time, that compliments for a meal well prepared. So the wife started crying, weeping. So he thought to himself, these women are strange creatures. You don't thank them, they cry. You thank them, then too they cry. So he asked her, what is the reason for your crying? She replied, that I have been cooking for you for 15 years. You never thanked me. Today the neighbor's wife sent some food and you are thanking me. So obviously she would be upset. So if you want to implement the sunnah, go home first, ask your wife, have you prepared the meal first? Lest that you get some frying pan on your head or something. So this is something we ought to take cognizance of. These are bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ought to show appreciation, show gratitude. A marriage once took place somewhere and the husband, the groom, on the wedding day with his friends, standing in one corner, laughing, giggling away. Happy occasion for him. He is getting an addition to the household, taking a bride home. But naturally, for parents, especially for the mother, to part with her daughter that she brought up so lovingly. It is a sad occasion. Normally mothers tend to become emotional and they shed tears when parting with their daughter. The daughter will also shed tears. So this side, the groom is making jovial, giggling, laughing with his friends. In the other corner, the mother and daughter, other ladies of the family are weeping, parting with the daughter. So someone indicated to the mother that you are crying, but look at the groom, your son-in-law. He is expressing joy. So some other lady of the family said, wait, just hold on. Let him laugh today. Tomorrow he will be crying. Why? Because tomorrow the responsibilities are coming. Now she will say, go to the shop, buy this and buy that. Bring food on the table. Earn for the family. So when all those responsibilities come, when that burden comes, then he will be crying. At one marriage occasion, the nikah just took place in the masjid. People hugging, embracing the groom as it normally happens. Whereas we should know this is not a sunnah. It is something customary. It's not proven from the hadith to hug and embrace the groom. What is proven is just to read the dua. Give him dua. Barakallahu lak wa baraka alaykuma wa jama'a baynakuma fi khair. But we are indulging in customs. So much time is spent hugging, embracing the groom. So someone from another town attending the nikah ceremony, it was something new for him. He is asking people that why are people hugging the groom? Normally we see this in janazas as a way of expressing condolences. They will hug the bereaved family. So why are they hugging the groom? It's a happy occasion. So they replied, because it is his last day of freedom. Last day of liberty. Now he's no freedom. Now he's going to be tied down. So nevertheless, even though you're tied down, Allah has granted you a great gift, a bounty in the form of that wife. We ought to appreciate, show our gratitude, show our appreciation. Learn from the sunnahs of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam how to appreciate these bounties. Tomorrow we will be questioned about this. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. That tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, you will have to answer about these bounties. Allah give us a tawfiq, that Allah is showering us with bounties day in, day out. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you try and enumerate the bounties of Allah, you can never do so. It is said you can count the droplets of rain that fall, using certain instruments, measuring the rain, using a certain formula. You can actually count the droplets, but you can never count the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us a tawfiq of appreciating His bounties, and Allah give us a tawfiq of appreciating this great gift of iman that we possess. Allah make it so that when we leave the world, we leave with iman, and that we are raised with iman. And by barakat of iman and taqwa and good deeds, Allah make us among those fortunate ones. Will be blessed with the intercession of Rasul Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that inshallah we will enter Jannat al-Firdaus, Allah willing, without reckoning. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. One masla with regard to roza, many people tend to ask this, maybe because of some ailment or because they are traveling overseas, they need to take vaccinations. Whether the vaccination breaks the roza? Well, it does not break the roza, because it is administered into the veins, traveling to the body, it will not break the roza. Similarly, if a person has to go and test his blood, he gets a little prick where blood is taken out of the finger, whatever the case may be, to test it, whether testing for sugar or other reasons. So just having that test done for the blood emerging from the body, that also does not break the roza. Allah give us all tawfiq.